Hello and welcome to PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike and I play with two Pokemon on the field.
I'm Kevin and I have nothing to complain about this week.
Finally. It's about that time.
I've done it all. I've complained about Series 7. I've complained about Diamond Pearl remakes. I've complained about Series 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling good this week. Oh, you know what it is? I had a week off work. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, I mean, that might help. I was wondering what you were doing. I was like, this guy seems online a lot more than usual.
Kevin's actually responding to these PokeSports mod conversations. What's happening?
Yeah. So what did you do with your week off?
I lost my textbook.
Oh, nice. That sounds like a good use of time.
Taking a 2-week course in.
A 2-week real estate course.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm an agent and leave my job because I can do that a lot faster than you guys can do that.
What does that mean?
Faster than they can help me leave my job. I can leave it myself.
Oh, no.
I've actually gotten that on comments before. Like, if you really dislike your job, just go. I'm like, you know what? You're right.
You're right. So this is you acting on what the people in the comments have said.
Yes.
Okay. So you have them to thank for it, not.
This is also to help fund my stock market addiction.
That's fair. You are quite addicted.
It's crashing and it's so good. Everything's on sale. Okay. Pokemon. PokeSports.
Oh no. I think we found what we're talking about in the Peach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Kevin can't stop thinking
about
it.
It's been a while. I think the last time we talked about crypto, we never talked about actual, like, safe bets.
No, I mean, that's very true. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that later. What we're going to get to right now is episode 70, which, of course, means that it's Weepin' Bell Day. Welcome to Weepin' Bell, our favorite, this thing, whatever this is.
What is a Weepin' Bell?
That would be a very good thing for me to know. I mean, it's definitely a type of fly trap, right?
Was Weepin' Bell ever spelled with only one L, or am I going crazy?
No, Weepin' Bell was never spelled with just one L.
I've always thought it had that for alligator effect where it just doesn't have a letter in it that should be there.
Did it ever run out of characters? How many characters does Weepin' Bell have? Ten characters with the final L.
For so. Alligator, I think it had 10.
Okay, Weepin' Bell may be based on carnivorous pitcher plants. A pitcher plant is a that's called a pitfall trap. Prey trapping mechanism featuring a deep cavity filled with digestive liquid. Oh, this thing is terrifying.
So definitely a Venus flytrap.
Kind of.
It has venomous liquid.
I mean, yes.
What about all the grass poison types in Gen 1? Was that like, what are they trying to say? Because you got the Vileplume line, you got the Weepin' Bell line, you got the Bulbasaur line. Like, mm-hmm. Y'all need more? Those are only my grass type. Tangela, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Can I also just say that I feel like Weepin' Bell, or no, grass Pokemon in general, are the closest things that real life has to Pokemon, or like the things that grass Pokemon are based off of are the closest things to real life Pokemon.
Foliage.
Yeah. Yes. Cause like, look at this pitcher plant and tell me that it's not using like acid spray or sludge bomb or any kind of poison move. Poison is obviously the closest real life equivalent we have to Pokemon, but
you know, ignoring Meowth.
I mean, yeah, fair.
Ignoring Arcanine. Ignoring, I guess that's on fire.
P-Dove.
Ignoring Rattata.
Ignoring straight up Pigeon.
No, these aren't animals. These are monsters,
We're talking about the Sparrow, which is also named Spiro.
It's different because it has an E. E.
Now, yes, welcome to the Weepin' Bell episode where everything just goes right down the toilet. So, what?
Oh, never mind. We didn't guess yet, right? For the next one?
We don't have to yet because we know what the next one's going to be. Well, next episode. Anyway.
Yeah.
At the end of next episode, we're going to be talking about what we think is coming up next, which I honestly, no idea. No idea. Around the 70s, that's like the kind of Pokemon where, you know, they just kind of throw the rest in there. Like, you got the beginning where you got, like, your Spearows and your Sandshrews and your Pikachus and whatnot, and that's, like, easy to remember. But when you get to the, like, late 70s or mid-70s, it's like, I don't know.
We could make our guesses because we're not going to remember next week anyway, but I don't want to make my guess because the chat's going to spoil me.
That's true, too.
Behave, guys. No spoilies.
Yeah, no spoilies, everybody.
Keep us clean for 1 week.
All right. Let's talk news before we talk stats. Because, of course, this is the first week of the month, meaning that we have all new stats from Picoletics, from Babiri, from Showdown in general. The Glicko stats have been released. But before Smogon went and released its stats, we got a bunch of suspect tests. We got Shadow Tag in general is being suspect tested in Ubers, which to me, I was surprised when I saw it because I thought it was already banned.
It's banned in OU. It was banned forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. Maybe they didn't feel the need to ban it because of the elimination of Mega Gengar from the game.
Right.
Because I know that was very toxic for the singles community for a long time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a good point.
But apparently it is, it's just as bad as ever.
Wobbuffet's getting banned from Ubers, guys. GG.
Oh, no. Cinderace is also in suspect test for Nat Dex. So we've removed.
Is Arena Trap also getting banned?
I believe it already has been.
So they banned Arena Trap and not Shadow Tag?
I think it depended on the Pokemon that were using it. Like Dugtrio is a strong Arena Trap user, you know?
Okay.
Anyway, Cinderace is suspect tested in Nat Dex.
I feel like every week we talk about Cinderace getting banned.
Yeah.
Like how many metagames can get banned from?
How many metagames can you ban a Cinderace from? All of them is the answer. All of them. Smogon does not like Cinderace.
Can you blame them?
I cannot. RU is suspect testing Zygarde 10%. Galarian Slowbro is now in RUBL from RU. And just the, you know, quick run through because we kind of have to. Pinkurchin and Torkoal dropping from PU to ZU, and NU is suspect testing Cresselia. There that is. Meanchao is also an NU from NUBL, or moving from NU to NUBL. So
great for them.
Yeah,
I'm proud of every one of them.
I feel happy for them.
They're moving up.
They're moving on up.
They're moving down some of them, but life's all about accepting defeat and learning from your mistakes. And
absolutely.
I'm sure each and every Meanchao and Cresselia is a better Cresselia / Meanchao from that decision.
Thank you, Smogon.
Thanks, Daddy Smogon.
Please accept these well wishes, and we'll see you next month.
However, I thought they weren't doing anything. Yeah.
Here's a cool thing. Here's a cool thing that Smogon is doing, though. We are now in throwback mode. So right now, everybody's looking back a year from now when everything was canceled, and they're thinking back to, you know, better times for some and different times for others. But Smogon is thinking a little bit further back than that. Their scope is way, way bigger. Smogon is hosting a Gen 7 tournament featuring VGC 2017. It's actually a tour featuring VGC 2017, VGC 2018, and VGC 2019. So we're bringing back the old school, old school, but not too old school.
They really do miss Alola, huh?
They miss Alola like crazy.
They miss their hour long timer real bad.
Yeah. So we're bringing it back. I mean, I don't know how to feel about that because that is the VGC time that I was not in. But I bet at this point,
imagine Megas and Z moves in the same battle and then you'll think about it real hard. Imagine 70% Incineroar usage.
What's going to be interesting, though, is we're going to get much more accurate or much more new age Peakalytics stats, because Peakalytics has been tracking VGC 2019, 2018, 2017 since time. Peakalytics has been tracking every one of the Showdown usage, but now that one specifically, that set is about to get a huge boost in users again, I think, because there were a lot of people who played that format, right?
Yeah, and on top of it, you're gonna get, I'm also assuming they're gonna be Pokemon that are gonna lose moves, like Meteor Beam isn't gonna be on Cresselia anymore, so Cresselia is gonna revert back to its original tank state and not be like, you know, Dynamax threatening power herb Meteor Beam thing. Same thing with Nihilego, is gonna revert back to its Trick Room state. The one good thing I like about all those VGC seasons, Ally Switch was a lot less common.
Right. And was it Dark, was it used though?
Hardly. Because the thing is, not a lot of Pokemon got it. Like, it wasn't a TM. It was, oh, if you learned it through leveling, that's when you got it. And that's pretty much it. A lot more Pokemon got Tailwind those generations as well, because move tutors for Tailwind were in the game. So Kartana got Tailwind, and a bunch of other weird Pokemon got Tailwind. Even Togekiss got Tailwind. It was an interesting time. You can use Mega Kangaskhan. You can use Mega Metagross. It sounds, honestly, now I'm starting to miss it the more I'm talking about it. Because I'm not the kind of guy to really reminisce on past seasons. Like, once a season dies, it's kind of dead for me. I don't lay in bed looking at the ceiling thinking to myself, I really miss Justified Arcanine in Series 1. I'm like, Series 1 is gone and never come back. I really miss Togekiss everywhere. I don't. So once a series is done for me, it's like, okay, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Which is why we're so upset about, Series 7 coming back.
Yeah, because it's like, I was done with this.
I did this already. We moved past it. Come on.
I think I would have been less mad about it if we didn't just do it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If like, say they were bringing back Series 1, I'd be like, okay, I'm here for this.
Now let's give it a try.
But like, it's like, dude, we just put this to
we just put this to rest bed.
And it's coming out of its coffin already.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine, by the way, Series 1 with 1 restricted? So what would that be? That would be eliminating certain Gigantamaxes. That would be eliminating Crown Tundra. That would be eliminating Isle of Armor.
Be eliminating Aleki, Urshifu, Calyrex. Yeah. That would a lot.
Like, we have ways of looking back at this in just a little bit, but let's keep going with Smogon for now, because I do have Smogon did release a infographic for their tier trends for March. Now again, since we're in the off season, this is going to sound a little confusing. I tried to explain it to Kevin and he was just like, what? What they're showing is just the top usage stats for certain Pokemon. They're not actually changing their tiers because of it. So if you look at like Kyurem, sitting at 8.6 in OU, Kyurem staying exactly where it is. Toxtricity sitting at 10.52% in RU. Major rise this month, is not leaving RU. Same thing with... See, I'm looking at that Pokemon and I don't even have its name in my head. It's not Dracovish, it's Arctivish? No, it's not. What's the... Yeah. Is that?
That is
Arctivish. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Jeez.
Dracovish's face and then the Arcto body.
Right. And Arctozolt is the other one with the electric and the ice with the skinny head. Got it. Cool. Yes. Anyway, Arctivish. Anyway, is 10.51% in NU, is not leaving NU. Dropping the ball this month. Not being used at all is, or barely at all. We've got Glacier at 3.35% in RU, which coming from
so low.
I know, right?
Guys,
not good in singles.
I guess you can't Dynamax. Maybe that's why. And then if you can't Dynamax, it kind of just makes it an ice type, which isn't typically that great. But I mean, still,
I feel like you can still run an Assault Vest on that and be totally fine.
Like, Barrascuda's above this dude. Like, what's happening?
yeah. I mean, typically they're running heavy duty boots, actually.
Wait, even Kyurem is an OU. Wait, Kyurem is just worse Glacier. You can't convince me that there's anything good that Kyurem does that Glacier doesn't do.
That's not true. It does freeze dry.
Yeah, well, so?
Yeah, the difference between them in how they're used, most people are running Glaciers with a sword stance set, using like Mega Horn and that kind of stuff. Kyurem,
I see the problem.
Yeah, because you're using Mega Horn. Kyurem runs freeze dry, earth power substitute, and roost. Like, let's not forget the importance of substitute in singles.
Sets are so weird.
Yeah. You're such a VGC player. It's crazy.
Different game. It's not even similar at all. Like, I didn't even know Glacier got Mega Horn. I don't see a value in a bug type move at all. Like,
so, I mean, like, people are using even Articuno in PU, but
in trash.
Yeah, it's not a good Pokemon.
Look at this ice type representation. We got two ice types climbing the ladder and two ice types tumbling down the mountain.
It's so true. Funny enough, Articuno is falling, but runs a very, very similar set. Both have roost and freeze dry, except Articuno is usually running toxic and defog. As far as I can tell, it does not get substitute.
Sorry. Oh, fair.
Yeah. But it's quite interesting to see.
So none of these Pokemon are actually going anywhere though, right? Because it's off season.
Correct. But however,
if they're not gonna change them.
Oh, because it's just interesting to see what Pokemon are being used in trends. This is just a trends tracker. Like Dragapult. Wow, geez, I cannot remember all these dragon names. Why? Dragapult has increased in usage from 11.23% in OU to 22.45% this month, from number 17 to number 2.
So that's what happens when you get rid of Urshifu?
That's what happens when you get rid of Urshifu.
I see it now. You get rid of the other ghost type called Spectre, too.
Exactly.
Sounds like Dragapult's having a great time in OU right
Dragapult
now.
Dragapult loves its position right now. It's very funny. Very, very funny to see. Also, I wanted to, well, before we get into what I wanted to say, I want to talk real quick about some Pokemon news, because we have two things coming up. First off, we've got the Spikemuth Cup, coming at the end of the month. That's going to be a single battle competition. It's going to be 3v3 in game. So if you're playing on cartridge and you still like singles 3v3, if you're playing that Battle Stadium singles, go ahead and do that. It's an interesting tournament because it has all of the Galar Pokemon and all the expansion Pokemon. No restricted, so you can't bring any of your legendaries or any of your whatever you'd be bringing in the other formats. But it also doesn't have Dynamax, and that kind of changes some things for me. Because that's like, why would you? I don't know. Why would you not put Dynamax in your games format?
Well, I think historically, and this might sound like a stretch, but we've made bolder claims on this podcast before. But historically speaking, the Play Pokemon or Game Freak or whoever decides this likes to test run things with 3v3s before they bring it onto the VGC series.
Interesting.
If you look at if you look at, you know, the restricted mons entering the metagame, you had the Battle of Legends Part 2, which included, you know, one restricted mon and yada, 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 etc. We had the whole Galar Open right at the beginning of Sword and Shield, which eventually led into Series 1 of, you know, VGC.
Yeah.
Just this could be, you know, a way to see, okay, how does the metagame perform without Dynamax? Is this healthy? Is this unhealthy? Like, what's going on here? It might bring a series where, hey, you're not gonna have Dynamax this series, have fun.
And it's absolutely related to Piers and Spikemuth in general, as being said in the chat. Yes, correct. However, it is still a mechanic that they're introducing into the competitive scene. So what, usually whenever they do that, and I agree with Kevin's point, that usually they will, you know, kind of give a soft introduction, and then they'll introduce it into the actual thing. So what that could mean is a future series could have all of what we just had in Series 8 minus Dynamax, and that would change most of the game. Zacian, bye-bye, right down the toilet. Zacian would not be as used as other Pokemon.
Yeah, definitely a little bit less meaningful. I mean, a lot of that does come from internal bias of me believing that Sword and Shield is going to remain the competitive game through the life cycle of DP and through the life cycle of Legends.
That's true.
So they're going to need to come up with something interesting. They're going to have to change up the metagame. They can't just keep going back to series 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 all over again and call them 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Like, they're not going to do that. I mean, they're doing it this time around, but hey, we'll give them a freebie. They need some time to come up with some ideas. But yeah, that's just kind of my thought.
No, it's an interesting one. I even considered that. Go ahead.
Technically, Series 9 is not the same as Series 7 because they introduced Sing Pikachu to the metagame.
Whoa, hang on. Sing Everything Pikachu is about to change.
Have you ever missed a move and then died before Dynamaxing? Welcome to Sing Pikachu.
Hey, you know what? What's important is that you have the ability to max guard your Gigantamax Pikachu. That's all that you really need to do. And you now have that with Sing. Now, can it be said that you were already running Thunder Wave and as such already had max guard? Probably.
If you're running Thunder Wave and Gigantamax Pikachu, that's a little overkill, Mikey.
Hey, listen. It's fine.
I'm going to paralyze your paralysis.
I'm actually curious what not. No, Pikachu just runs straight up Protect. All right. Got it.
Yeah.
I decided to look up real quick, just like what non-attacking moves a Pikachu is running normally. And like number two on the list is Protect. So.
You remember Duraludon?
Who?
Where did Duraludon go? Poor guy. He just wanted to make some friends.
Duraludon is currently sitting at 0.07%. Not even a percent.
I guess we'll be talking about him later.
How the mighty have fallen. Later. Yeah, we've got a bit of a new segment later. But real quick, let's see. Do we have time? No, we don't. Let's do a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some VGC stats. We're going to talk a little bit about how the varying metas shift from the top of the Smogon ladder to the bottom of the top of the Showdown ladder to the bottom of the Showdown ladder to the in cartridge ladder. Because surprisingly, they're all very, very different. All that and more when we come back to back in a bit. Blah, blah. Yeah. See you in a sec. And we're back. Welcome back, everybody, to PokeSports. During the break, we were talking about the Liege. Of course, tomorrow, Monday, March 8th, is the last day for this month to go and sign up for our PokeSports Patron League over at patreon.com/PokeSportsPodcast, where every month we have a competition based on the current series. Yeah, Monday, March 8th is the deadline. That's going to be underway as of Tuesday, March 9th. So get in if you still can. If you're listening to this on podcast providers as this comes out, whoops, might have missed this one.
Sorry, probably winning. Way.
Kevin wants to win, but he's also got Players Cup, maybe.
Maybe. Where's my email? Play Pokemon, hello? it looks like most people didn't receive their emails yet, and it's supposed to start...
Like soon, right? Like in a week?
Yeah. Maybe even one.
I remember like the 13th.
I need to request days off. I need help.
Oh yeah.
Am I in? Am I out? I guess I could just always request it.
I mean, you were top 70. One would hope.
One would hope. I mean, maybe they don't send letters out to top 70, just top 1,500 when I got in a couple of times.
That's
a couple
fair.
Months ago.
That's fair. No, you just didn't get in. That's all right. Also, we didn't mention this before the break. I wanted to. We didn't. Pokemon Unite came out. Nobody can really say too much about it or post anything about it. We can talk a little bit about it, but it's all right. It's all right. Take it from a Canadian who's actually played the game. It's all right. I don't know if it'll be a competitive game, but it certainly is fun.
It kind of did look catered to kids from like the trailer that they showed. I don't know if I just got that vibe. It kind of looked like there wasn't any identifiable lanes. There wasn't any like kind of character structure. Cause like, you know, League of Legends, you got your bot support, you know, yeah, where they go, your jungler, you know where he goes. Like they have very well-defined roles with very well-defined characters and archetypes within those roles. I just felt like from the trailer, Unite didn't have that. It was just kind of a Charmander running around with it, wherever he wanted.
Be determined, but I'm pretty sure you're not off base there. Like, I feel like a meta, if one will be, if it has been designed with a meta in mind, then it'll eventually define itself. But The way that it is right now, it kind of feels like everyone's just kind of going wherever they go.
I wonder how that gets determined. Like, there's technically nothing stopping tanks from going to the bot lane versus going to the top lane, but that's just kind of how it always ends up happening, right? It's like, why?
Right.
Like, what's stopping bot lane from just going to the top lane and then top lane going to the bot lane?
Yeah, and I mean, just the not clearly defined path for certain Pokemon in the game, that's kind of where it drops off a little bit for me. Not every MOBA is going to have three lanes, as says Grubby, which is absolutely true. But, you know, it's not so much about the lanes. It's more about what is my purpose? You know, like if I'm going in as a Bulbasaur, what is my purpose? If I'm going in as a Machop, what am I supposed to do? Apart from beat the enemy team and score points.
So without saying too much about the actual Pokemon,
because
I don't know how much we're actually allowed to talk about, are there roles in the game? Like, is there a support Pokemon? Is there a mage Pokemon? Is there a bruiser, etc.?
From the few hours that I've played so far, it doesn't feel like there are Pokemon that support other Pokemon. It kind of feels like everyone's kind of in it for themselves.
Self-reliable. Okay.
That might not actually be true, though. I have only played with, I would say, half of the actual pool. There's a lot of Pokemon in this game. So it's, yeah, and I mean, it's good.
There's like creeps to fight, right?
Yeah. Okay. There's ways to level up. Games are only 10 minutes. It's a nice little, you know, you have 10 minutes to spare. Just go hop in a game, go play. That part's nice. I love that.
So what happens if you don't win the game in 10 minutes?
You lose the game.
Both people lose?
No, you do. Well, no, like there's a clear point system. People score points over the 10.
Got it. So it's not like,
it's not a destroy the Nexus kind of thing, right?
Got it.
Yeah. In fact, you can't destroy the Nexus. All games go until 10 minutes. Like, period.
Oh, so if you're getting like wrecked, you just kind of sit there.
That's kind of the other problem I have with it right now is people don't. I don't think, or if they do, then bots take over and I don't notice. It is probably that. But there's very poor, from what I understand, poor comeback mechanics. In like other MOBAs, there are at least ways to come back, but.
Yeah. How do you come back in 10 minutes? That's the thing.
You don't.
It's like, you can't just farm to the late game. Late game is in 2 minutes. Like,
basically you farm up and then you get a bunch of kills. And if you get too many kills, then you're game losing up. Or you're winning. Have another fun 5 minutes of.
Is it just mobile that Canadians are allowed to play it on right now?
Yep. So far.
I feel like that would also translate differently to a Switch controller.
Maybe.
I never liked mobile games. I got big fingers. Like,
oh yeah, look at them.
I can't. pop. It doesn't register.
Exactly. But no, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a fun transition if they ever make which I'm sure they will, and they're doing a beta now because of this, but if they ever make changes to the game to kind of fix it and make it a little bit more fair for the entire 10 minutes, then I think it's going to be quite successful.
Hey man, Pokken still gets support, so anything is possible.
Yeah.
I think when you got an IP like Pokemon behind something, it's not going to just fall off and die like Arena Valor did and failed. It's probably, even if it's going to fail, there's enough money in it to still pump some updates, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Or at least to keep the servers up. So it's
also
going to
be a super big cash grab because of all those pretty little skins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're going to make some money.
I bet these parents really regret linking their credit card to Apple ID right about now.
Oops. Yeah, for Oop. Real.
Whoa.
Okay, let's talk VGC. So I put this to Discord the other day, and Discord came back in droves and was really, really cool about this. Looking to kind of change up how we're doing usage stats for VGC, because obviously we focus on this all month on our own channel and the games that we play. We focus on how to change up our teams. The thing that we had been doing up until now was we would look at the top teams, or maybe we would look at the teams from like 1760 plus or all the way down to 1500. But what we weren't looking at Pokemon within Battle Stadium doubles as much, certainly not making the comparison. So what we're going to do today, I have in front of us the top 10 list from Battle Stadium doubles for VGC for the month of February, from Showdown VGC Gen 8, 0+, which is if you have absolutely no rating, and Showdown 1760 plus. So if your rating is 1760, so on the left, Battle Stadium doubles, in the middle, 0+, on the right, 1760 plus. The differences between these top 10s are staggering. Now, in the past, I've gone like the, you know, plus or minus 200 rating, and I drew like little lines between each of the Pokemon to see like kind of where they go. But here I thought we could just kind of look at it, talk it through, see what we can see, extrapolate what we can extrapolate from the data we have in front of us. So
these changes are so drastic. There's not even a point writing the lines between them.
Exactly. So I'm going to put this to you, Kevin, with this in front of you. What is the first thing that you notice between all three of these, groups?
I guess it's also something we should mention. We're starting at number three because the top two are identical in all of them.
Exactly.
Lucky.
I was going to mention that actually, that the most obvious thing here is that Incineroar and Regieleki are number one and number two for all three of those. So just for the people who are listening, Incineroar, Regieleki, number one and number two. Battle Stadium Zero goes 42% for Incineroar, and Regieleki gets 25%. And then for 1760, Incineroar is 60%. Regieleki is 35%.
Bring a ground type.
Bring a ground type.
Anyway, immediately I'm seeing a lack, or I'm seeing more of a comparison with Battle Stadium and 1760 plus Top Ladder Showdown. They are actually looking more similar than if you were to look at like the entirety of Showdown as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly the in-game and the Top Ladder Showdown realized that Zacian's a good Pokemon, and the bottom of the ladder is having a little bit of a hard time understanding that.
That's very fair.
It's like Zacian goes from the top to the last very quickly. That's super interesting. And like on top of that, like I feel like the top of the ladder is really putting high precedence on Pokemon like Thundurus.
Yeah, I want to talk about Thundurus because that's an interesting one to me. And I'll give the people listening again a little bit of context here. So in Battle Stadium doubles, we've got in our top 10 in order: Incineroar, Regieleki, Zacian, Whimsicott, Rillaboom, Landorus Therian, Urshifu, Kyogre, Porygon 2, and Thundurus as the last spot. In 0+, We've got Incineroar, Regieleki, Rillaboom, Landorus Therian, Tapu Fini, which wasn't mentioned before, Amoongus, which wasn't mentioned before, Whimsicott, Urshifu, Thundurus as number 9, and Zacian as number 10. So Zacian being number 3 in BSD and number 10 in 0+. And then in the last one in 1760, we've got Incineroar, Regieleki, Thundurus as number 3, Zacian as number 4, Landorus Therian, Amoongus again, Rillaboom, Tapu Fini, Urshifu, and Kyogre. So Thundurus jumps from 10th and 9th percent to 26% in high ladder. Now, Kevin, why do you think that is?
I think maybe when it comes to newer players, I'm going to assume that the bottom of the ladder is probably including, you know, mostly newer players. Mm-hmm. I know it includes some people just testing new teams and trying new things out, but I'm going to say for the majority, it is new players or players trying to get their foot wet. So I think for newer players, it's harder to identify things like abilities as being very good or very bad.
Yeah.
A lot of these new players might think that, you know, Defiant isn't all that worth it, or realize that, hey, maybe I need a counter to all these Intimidate Pokemon running around. But your average, not average, your above average player will realize, hey, Incineroar is 60% usage. Maybe I should bring something that counters Incineroar.
Right.
Or, hey, Landorus is very scary too. Maybe I should bring something that can deal with Landorus. Hey, my Zacian doesn't like Intimidate because it defeats the purpose of his ability. Maybe I should have something that deters Intimidators. So yeah, I guess it's just kind of that knowledge that I feel like the bottom ladder wants to play the game of Pokemon where one Pokemon hits another Pokemon and that other Pokemon faints, and then that's how the game plays out. But the top of the ladder wants to outmaneuver their opponent, wants to right. be a step ahead of the game. And that's also why you encounter a lot tankier Pokemon at the top of the ladder. You encounter Pokemon like Fini. You encounter Pokemon like Amoongus. Just these Pokemon that get, you know, kind of very relevant in the situation because of how long they can outlive their opponent and how well they deal with the current meta.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, it's the Amoongus factor. The higher you go up in the ladder, the more Amoongus that you see. Mm-hmm. 1760 plus. Well, all of the Pokemon, by the way, at 1760 plus, the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 are above 20% usage. You stop seeing 25% usage in 0+ when you get past the top 4. Now, obviously, a lot of that has to do with the fact that there are more people in 0+, and so obviously you would get more variants. But not so much as to say that Incineroar sitting at 60% at 1760 plus, like most people are just bringing that because that is how solid of a Pokemon that it is, and how varied you can make an Incineroar. You can bring it with stat reducing abilities. You can bring it with an assault vest. Hey, you can bring it with, you know, a life orb if you really 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 wanted to.
When the item doesn't matter, that's a good Pokemon.
Yeah, it's true.
I invented a new term called the no-brainer Pokemon.
Mm.
And that's what I feel like the Incin, the Regieleki, and the Zacian kind of all have in common. They're all no-brainer Pokemon. You can close your eyes, have an empty spot on your team, throw one of those three Pokemon there, and be okay.
Yeah.
It won't make a difference. They're just that good that you could probably have 4 ground-type weaknesses on your team and still bring Zacian and not care.
Right, exactly, exactly. Another interesting point, I think, is that most of these Pokemon, save Regieleki, are very contingent on their abilities working. So Incineroar with its Intimidate, that's something that you want. Thundurus with Defiant, the more people bringing Defiant, the scarier it is to bring Incineroar and Landorus at high meta where people are doing mm-hmm. it. That you can kind of see that through each one of these, except for Regieleki. And just like how you said, you know, when it doesn't matter what item you bring, it's a good Pokemon. When it doesn't matter what ability it is, that's a good Pokemon, because not often are people actually using Regieleki for its transistor ability. Just the fact that it has it is scary enough, but not a lot of people use it because it's super strong otherwise and super fast and super versatile.
Hey, if we're really going to get into like Pokemon not caring about what item they hold, not caring about what ability they have, real talk, you can run a support Thundurus, you can run an offensive Thundurus, you can run a support Aleki, you can run an offensive Aleki. I've even gone against weakness policy in Cineroars, and it has worked. Yeah. So if that doesn't define a good Pokemon, I don't know what does. Even things like Lander or Styrian, you can go Choice Scarf, you can go Life Orb, you can go Lumbar, you can go Solvest, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. here's an interesting exercise that I want people to do. Go on to Pikalytics. Go and click on any one of these top 10 Pokemon, or any Pokemon at all. If you have a favorite that you want to go and check, by all means, you can see if a Pokemon is dependent on its ability or dependent on its items. If you look at the top two, so for abilities, if you look at its top ability and you see like, oh, okay, most people are, like 99.89 people are bringing Intimidate on Incineroar. It's dependent on that. However, on its items, 34% are bringing Citrus Berry, 16% are bringing Safety Goggles. If those top two items equal, let's say 80%, you can even go as low as 70%, then that Pokemon is dependent on those two items. And so you could potentially build something that, takes that away. This is why Switcheroo Whimsicott actually worked, because there were so many Pokemon that were dependent on those items. Incineroar, not dependent on Citrus Berry or Safety Goggles, because you could also bring an Assault Vest set. You could also bring a Figgy Berry set. You could also bring an Agwav Berry set. We go down to Thundurus, and that one is highly dependent on its items, because Assault Vest sitting at 68%, Life Orb bringing 15%. That is like just over 80, 83. So if a Thundurus is not bringing either one of those two items, likely not going to be as threatening as it could be, but still you have to be a little bit wary.
And I also want to stress this, because a lot of people just look at the percentages of Pokemon and don't actually go and click and see what those Pokemon do. The fact that you have the knowledge, or at least you should have the knowledge, that when playing on best of one ladders, and seeing a Thundurus attack and not take Life Orb damage, you can pretty much assume it's Assault Vest and be right. But yeah, you would never have that knowledge unless you actually took the time to click the Thundurus at 26.19% and see what it's doing. Sometimes it's not enough to just go and see the numbers, but you just have to take that little extra mile, because having that kind of information is really key. Granted, there are Pokemon it doesn't work with, like, Incineroar, because it could have any item under the sun. But Pokemon like, say, Amoongus with 44% Koba Berry and then 44% Focus Sash, if you didn't break a Koba Berry, it's probably Sashed. Or right, if you did break a Sash, then obviously it has Sash because you broke it. But, just situations like that.
I will say, we've gone 8 generations deep. We talked about this a little bit on the break. 8 generations deep, and the 8th generation, the most recent generation, did not contribute very much to February's usage stats. And I thought that was pretty interesting. The only ones that kind of live in the top 10 right now are legendaries and things that you get through expansions. So Zacian sitting at number 4 in Battle Stadium, and sitting at number 3 in Battle Stadium, sitting at number 4 in Showdown 1760. Or Urshifu sitting at number 7 BSD, or number 9. 1760 plus. That's
it's just
all.
Pretty much.
And Rillaboom's a starter though.
The only one that made it in from the base game.
Yeah.
And we called that one day one, easy peasy.
The second we saw grassy terrain on Rillaboom, we're like, oh, okay. There it is. We found it.
Incoming dumb Pokemon. And it's crazy because I don't think we actually expected Rillaboom to outperform Cinderace.
Right.
But that's how big Intimidate is, and people don't realize that. Because Cinderace relies heavily on its items, right? You pretty much have to run Life Orb, and if you're not running Life Orb, you're not doing damage.
Yeah, if a Rillaboom gets intimidated,
that Pokemon right now?
If a Rillaboom gets intimidated, you can still kind of do something with it. You can still fake out. You can still U-turn. You can get out of there. If a Cinderace gets fake outed, or not fake outed, intimidated. Ooh, that is
the thing with Rillaboom is that it's easier. It's harder to punish after you intimidate it, because Rillaboom will scarcely Dynamax. It's typically used as a, hey, let's click Grassy Glide and fake out and no other button. So if you intimidate it and it's undynamaxed, you could just switch out and all you sacrifice is a turn. Cinderace, on the other hand, is almost always exclusively a Dynamax Pokemon. So when you intimidate that Dynamax Pokemon, you mitigate its damage, you essentially waste three turns for that Cinderace and you burn a Dynamax spot, which feels a lot worse than intimidating a Rillaboom.
Yeah. That, wow, that's a good point. Absolutely. I'm trying to look down, scroll down in Battle Stadium Doubles, see where the next Gen 8 Pokemon is, and that's like in DDF at number 12, because of how broken Follow Me is.
Yeah, and Grim too.
Yeah, Grimmsnarl as well. Dragapult's still there. Dragapult's holding on, man. Dragapult, like, they won't let that go down.
Dragon always wins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Calyrex Shadow, obviously. I tend not to count like the Calyrexes or the Urshifus or the Zacians, because it's like
DLCs.
Well, not Zacian, but yeah, they're DLCs. I'm trying to see what's a random, like a totally random Pokemon. I guess Grimmsnarl will be the first, or Dragapult. Where like
Colossal is pretty relevant. I'd say Colossal had a very good showing this
Colossal
year.
Colossal is Gen 7 though.
No.
Wasn't it?
Mike, where are you at?
Who am I?
Mike, where's that Pokemon Sword Let's Play? You need to replay this game. Colossal is Gen 8. So.
Oh, yeah. Because they had all the
guys. Yeah, it's a whole mine. You had a whole mine.
I haven't played the game in a long time, man. Wow.
A lot of people, just content creators that are competitive content creators, don't remember anything from the game because we just rushed through it to get to the competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't remember. I had to look up what Spike Myth was. I'm like, why do they call this thing Spike Myth Cup? Like, what does that mean? Sounds too edgy.
Galarian Moltres is on that list, too. Yeah. Okay, we've got some. Dracovish at number 45.
Dracovish is, oh, please, that Mr. Fish. That's kind of dumb. It's seeing a resurgence. I don't know if we talked about this last week, but Ulolalala is... pretty used on top Showdown teams, at least the top 100. It's seeing kind of a resurgence on Babiri.net, or at least it was last week.
Right.
As I'm scrolling through this, I'm not finding it. Okay, it has the same usage as Pokemon like Lapras and Torkoal and Charizard and Zapdos. So that's
it's having
relevant.
A resurgence in your heart.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I wish I was wearing its shirt, but I'm not. The Drake shirt.
Yeah. Ooh, yo, yeah.
Ooh, no. Yeah. If you guys don't know why we're making those noises, you should go look up the Dracovish cry from the anime, the Japanese anime. It's the greatest thing you'll hear today, and I promise that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is how we're going to look at usage stats for the next little bit. It's cool. I like seeing how things change month to month. I just closed Babiri on myself, whatever. There was one other thing that we wanted to do, right? Kevin, you wanted to do something?
Yeah, I wanted to actually, because I was trying to think of what we're going to do for the channel after we finally complete all restricted mons. Which will happen like probably within the next 2 weeks.
More or less has happened already. Has that happened? Are you keeping a list?
Yes, I am. I still have a couple. Through I still you have done Zekrom, I still have not.
Okay.
And since you take teams from other people, I like to have, like, you know, a PokeSports team with a PokeSports title on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lunala is gonna be coming out soon. I still have to do Rayquaza. I still have to do a Lugia. I have a list somewhere, but yeah, I'm still missing a couple, but it's gonna come realistically soon. So I was thinking about, hey, maybe after restricteds are gone, or like we have a team for each restricted, we can go through and look at the Pokemon that kind of sit below 1%, the below 1%ers, because I feel like 1% is a good baseline for those Pokemon you'll encounter one in every 100 games that'll still do something very impressive and with the proper backbone. Like, they're not too bad for being good, if that makes sense, right?
I see, yeah.
They work in niches. You just have to find those niches.
When you say that they come in every one in every 100 games, that one kind of struck me. I'm like, oh yeah, that is kind of what 1% means, huh?
Yes, that's exactly what 1% means.
And it's not like 100 games is a hard number to hit. You know, like, people, you will play that many games usually in a season.
Yeah, people think 1% is bad, but let me just put this into perspective real quick. Like, Zamazenta is 1% right now. And I've definitely encountered more than one with Zamazenta in the last week of playing.
All right. Dragonite is sitting at 0.59%. I've seen a couple mm-hmm. dragons. Hatterene is 0.6.
Yeah, like, there's like 1% is still very good Pokemon. So I think maybe taking the time to look through those 1%, finding their niche, and then building teams around them. Teams that can still include restricted bonds, right? Like, I would love to pair, say, a Mamoswine with, I don't know, a Lugia. Mm. Or something that can just take advantage of Mamoswine's strengths and weaknesses.
Now, I do see Faramosa at all. Faramos is actually sitting at 0.74%.
That's an under 1%er. Things like Poliwag.
That's a speed swap and coaching Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Things like Politoed getting no recognition because of Kyogre. That's kind of understandable.
Yeah, that's a given.
Alolan Marowak is super strong, man.
It's like, I don't know if it's relevant anymore just because of Kyogre, the existence of Kyogre.
I mean, you can run it on a rain team. It has Lightning Rod.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
You can even run it like a rain room team. I know that's like kind of uncommon, but it was common with like Politoed. Back when Politoed Kingdra was a thing, they were on Politoed Kingdra, Hatterene and Didi, mm-hmm. Marowak, and then X Pokemon, right? Because you can kind of just work with that. Probably incoming grass Pokemon like Ferrothorn there. You could make rain room work. It's a thing. Mienshell, for example. I want to take a look at Mienshell because 0.56% usage. Just won a tournament, then the RVGC Cup tournament.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Had a Mienshell on it. Like, hello?
Huh. Well, because I mean, Mienshell with Wideguard, that is a Tornogre killer, basically.
Wideguard is so underlooked this game, but it can literally put so many archetypes to shame.
Expanding Force, Astral Barrage. Whatever the ice version of that is.
Glacial Lance. Sure. You got Precipice Blades, Water Spout, Origin Pulse. You got it all, dude. Like, so many legends get spread moves that are signature. And since everyone wants to use their Wii Woo legends, you know, you encounter more and more situations where Wide Guard is better.
Right.
Also, you can't fake out Mienshot, which is nice because Inner Focus. You can't intimidate it because Inner Focus. It's one of the fastest fake out users. It also is one of the fastest coachers. There's a bunch of good reasons for Mienshell.
Mm.
Things like Heatran. Like, what happened to Heatran? I feel like Heatran could definitely be used. I guess like Groudon exists, but you just, you know, bring a water type.
Yeah.
Bring rain. Like, you know, different situations.
I'm scrolling all the way to the very bottom of,
you remember Primarina?
Primarina, what? Primarina is not what?
Primarina is 0.42 usage. Terrakion. I feel like beat up Whim with Terrakion would still be really good right now.
Definitely.
0.35% usage. Abomasnow has the same usage as Terrakion currently.
I don't understand.
Exactly. Excadrill, 0.34% usage. That's fine. Below Abomasnow.
It's fine.
Oh, yeah, we can keep it there, right? Yeah,
that's where it should be.
So there's just like some really low Pokemon that I feel like don't belong here. And that's kind of what I want to shift my focus to once we get the restrictors out of the way. Because like, they just don't belong.
Right. I mean, we thumbnailed Gyarados and Porygon Z for this specific reason. For me, definitely, like, Porygon Z was a major part of, I want to say Series 6.
It was 6, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that can be, because you know, like every series has their headliner Pokemon. Yep. Like Series 5 is Togekiss. Series 4 is
Togekiss. Series 3 is Togekiss.
I would say Series 3 is Lapras.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Huge in Series 3.
Yeah.
Series 2 to Arcanine. Things like Pokemon have their poster child. I mean, the series have the poster childs. Like, Series 6 was PZ. 100% was PZ Grim. Arcanine was Series 6. So, yeah, I feel like seeing PZ at point 14 is almost like an injustice to PZ.
Right. Yeah. Well,
Series 4 could also be Rhyperior. That thing was disgusting. Ooh, I remember when true. I heard the problem. I was like, oh, I don't like this Pokemon. This Pokemon is actually an issue.
And then Gyarados sitting at 0.08%.
I feel like Gyarados has so much room to grow here. Gyarados' biggest issue is Regieleki. Because you can't redirect the Electroweb, which makes it kind of hard for Gyarados to function in metagame like this. But you got things like Wackenberry.
Yeah.
You could make it happen.
I am surprised that it's not higher up, just because the two other Intimidate users are, and I guess you wouldn't counter an Intimidate user with an Intimidate user, but your two high Intimidate users are both water weak.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, just bring in your Gyarados, hit them with a waterfall.
If you can get the switch in, then you win, right?
Yeah.
Like, if they're forced to switch out, then that's all you needed from their Intimidate users. Just make them leave.
Yeah. I mean, the rough part is that your Landorus also gets Rock Slide. So,
you know what I think is super sleeper right now? And I'm almost reluctant to share this because I want to use it very soon. Is Landorus Incarnate.
Yeah.
So sleeper right now, especially looking at the top Pokemon. You have Incin, Regieleki, Zacian. You have just a bunch of ground weaknesses, right? It's
Sheer Force, Life Orb, Earth Power. Ooh.
Why aren't we using Landorus, right? We're using Therian, but what about Incarnate?
It's so scary.
Yeah, I think it's a serious threat, and people are not giving that the respect it deserves.
Does it not get any decent flying special?
No, it does not.
No, it doesn't. That's a bit of a shame, but I guess that's why it's not using anything but fly.
Yeah, I mean, Earth Power, Sludge Bomb, Psychic Protect is pretty much all you really need. Yeah. You're only going to get power anyway.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. I feel like there's not a ton of Psychic Presence. Am I wrong in thinking that? Just in the game right now?
No.
Looking at the top 10, yeah, no, you know what? Not just have a lot of psychic.
Yeah, you just have Calyrexes right now. Maybe a Metagross or two, but that's pretty. Even Metagross doesn't carry a psychic type move. I think right. Psychic isn't in a good spot right now because they decided to release things like Moltres, Galar, and
Urshifu. Yeah.
It's so hard to run psychic types right about now. And then you have Yveltal on top of it all. You have like 20,000 different steel types that all resist your psychic moves. It puts you in kind of a pickle.
True. True.
It's like trying to run bug in a steel type meta. Like, good luck. Presence. Where's the bug types anywhere on this list? where are my bugs at? Who's the first bug Pokemon on this list?
I'm curious with the first bug. Yeah, that's true. What if I just type in bug?
I'm scrolling.
Yeah, that's Volcarona at 1.99.
Okay, Volcarona, keep up the good work. You're carrying the bug.
You're doing it. The closest, I guess, bug type user is Rillaboom with the U-turn, but even then, that's not in its core four.
Bug type user is who?
Rillaboom. With
that's
the U-turn.
On, like, that's not like banded Rillabooms, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess. Poor bug type.
Wow, yeah. Still scrolling through. No good bug representation. Whoops. And lo and behold, the person on top is Incineroar, who resists bug and is, or not, isn't, well, it's normal. Bug is normally damaged, but, and is resistant to psychic. So
I just type bug and I'm just looking at Durant.
Oh.
And then crying on the inside, man. Durant at 0.05 usage, below Rabombi, Shuckle, and Shedinja. What is this? Is Scizor still a thing? Scizor is currently at 0.07% usage. It struggles a little bit because Indeedee is so popular and it can't bullet punch what it wants.
And an Incineroar can Oko at basically any any HP.
Incineroar could Oko with an Ember, dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, I will say, is going to be the end of our podcast for today, just with that last look into the sadness that is bug Pokemon.
bug type.
Go apologize to A-Drive on behalf of PokeSports for us, please. I feel like you might be crying on the inside, laughing on the outside because of all the Pokemon cards. But what we're going to be doing, folks, is saying goodbye. So I hope everybody enjoyed. I hope we learned a little bit today. We talked only stats, but we tried to make it a little bit more relevant to what you guys are doing. If you have any suggestions for how you want stats days to go, or things that you want to learn, or things that you want to know, make sure you drop that for us in the topic suggestions chat in our Discord, because that's how we know. That's how we read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, for this week, we are continuing our new schedule on the PokeSports YouTube channel. So we will be streaming on Tuesday and Friday of this week, as well as Sunday, obviously, right now, which we do every single Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. Yeah, but also releasing videos every other day that we're not streaming.
Yeah, and also, if you're a fan of Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, members are getting a Mystery Dungeon Let's Play, and I can name Pokemon after you. I currently have three teams. Oh, Mike, I you have your own team.
I do?
Yeah, you're Magna Mike.
Hey. Mike.
And I'm currently looking for a Hoot Hoot to put in your party because you could flying.
Oh, no. Okay. Hey, you know what? I like that. I still have like three full boxes of Hoot Hoots.
Hoot Hoot giveaway starting.
No, those are for me. I gave away my Hoot Hoots already. Anyway, you can go and follow us on Twitter at PokeSportsPod. You can follow us on Instagram at PokeSportsPodcast. Check us out on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts at PokeSports. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/PokeSportsPodcast. We've got lots of stuff going on there.
Including
the League, which is going on this week. Make sure that you go and sign up if you're already a patron, because this one should be another pretty fun one. Last week, we ended off the league, and I'm trying to remember who won that one. I think it was that Bebem for the second month in a row.
Bebem and Scorcho are currently the only two people that have won
twice.
So that's right. You guys are entitled to uphold. I think it's funny because Scorcho said he'll come out, because Scorcho went into retirement after his second victory for a couple months, and he said he would come retirement only if someone's threatening his record, and then Bebem comes out with a two-peat, so right now they're tied.
I have a rivalry.
What if it's Scorcho v Bebem in the finals? We have to commentate.
I want to see it. Yeah. Colton, though, coming in hot, though, just came second for not the first time in a row. Not the first time in his league performance, so.
Congratulations to everyone that makes it farther than me. You've earned it.
At least 15 people.
I'm going to actually play this month, guys. Be afraid. Be terrified. My team is going to whoop yours and run crying.
Fair enough. I want to thank patrons such as Elijah, Braden, Colton, Sheldon, Travis, Carlos, Servo, Mark, Corey, different spelling, same phonetics, Dreamweaver, Jack S, Ro Ixon, Scotty D, Alex, Joseph, Kevin K, King Boo, Martine, Ahmed, Rowan, Chris P, George, Greg, Lewis, Make It Totter, Pink Hat Boy, Ryan, Soen, Mod Pierre, and Mod Tofu. I want to give a big thanks to M Dash for every single second of every single piece of music you hear on this podcast, including the starting soon track that you heard, which was the Diantha mix. Next week, we might hear a different one, I say, hoping that I'll change it.
Hope I remember that I said this.
Exactly. So, yeah, folks, I hope you enjoyed. We hope you enjoyed. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Toodaloo.
Toodaloo.
Pasta la pasta. Eat pasta, run faster.